Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I just keep wondering what is going to really push people over the line on the transgender pronoun thing. You know, it's one thing, I'd prefer not to talk about it. Let's not make a big deal out of this. But the transgender activists continue to make a big deal out of it. They are not going to back down, it seems. They're going to force you to obey them, even though it's a lie. It is a factual lie. What they're pushing is a factual lie. I mean, I am more than happy to deal with people's feelings. And I'm thankful for people who are willing to deal with my feelings. Sincerely. So if we want to talk about people's feelings, that's fine with me. But please stop lying. Please stop lying. If we're going to suspend factual, genetic, and biological standards, then we're really screwed. I mean, that is just unbelievably foolish and disingenuous. And I just don't know. This guy is laid off from work, put on leave from work, because he tells the truth. I mean, it doesn't even sound to me like he was rude to anybody. It sounds like he just said, "I'm not going to lie to a child, to a student." And we think he's the bad guy. I got to tell you, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I'm just puzzled again why we live in such a passive society where this guy's taking the hit and we all just kind of sit over here thinking, let's not say anything. I got to say something. And I'm gay. And I'm going to say something. This is not right to treat somebody like this. It's just not correct. He's not lying to you. Other people are. Now, if you want to get beyond that, we can talk about your feelings and how we deal with your feelings. That's okay with me. But I'm not going to participate in a lie. Is that controversial these days? Seems so. 8:07 on this Tuesday morning. It is the first day of June 2021. I'm John Reed, and glad you were with us here on News Radio WRVA. Every week we talk to State Senator and Dr. Siobhan Donovant as we work our way through the COVID crisis, which I hope is rapidly dissipating. The numbers seem to be really, really solid. I mean, we haven't seen any flare-up, have we, Dr. Donovan?
No, we have not. We have the lowest rates we've had on record, mm-hmm. and it seems that we are very comfortably within all of the metrics, which I think were a bit of a reach last year, well below 5% for us to be doing the right thing, which is removing the mask requirement and the social distancing and allowing life to get back to normal.
Yeah. Maybe you heard what I was talking about in the last half hour, and I'm sure it'll be controversial. Some of my coworkers are going to be very angry with me for saying it. I just feel like we're being very heavy-handed, and maybe in some cases kind of two-faced about the way we're dealing with the vaccine. Oh, yes, we'll put you in a lottery to win $1 million if you get the vaccine. But you know what? If you don't get the vaccine, we're going to treat you like second-class citizens. We'll put you in a separate part of the building. We may or may not allow you to travel in certain circumstances. Is there a danger for other people and for society in general if someone looks at the vaccine and says, you know what, it's just not something I want to do yet, for whatever the reason is. Is there a real danger here? Is there something I'm missing?
Well, you know, I think that the entire COVID experience has been heavy-handed. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that. I think that we've been emotionally manipulated instead of scientifically specific. And the fact of the matter is, when you reach herd immunity, whatever that is, and there's great debate about that, but I would propose that we are experiencing that and seeing it now. Mm-hmm. And when the at-risk people are vaccinated, that the risk of infection is very low, and that's supported by the numbers that you see. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what happens now that the mask mandates are gone, because I think we all have a bias that it doesn't make an enormous amount of sense. They were helpful at all, and there are places and countries that have not had masks, and they have not seen an increased spike. So I think that the issue now should and must, and we must fight for this, move back to an issue of individual freedom. Mm-hmm. If there is not a threat to society, they have no prerogative to take away our individual freedom. And that means they don't have the right to ask for a card to prove you're vaccinated. And they don't have the right to coerce you to receive medical care that you don't want to get. So to me, this is, you know, unless my decisions are threatening the safety of somebody else, the government has no right to intervene in my decision process. That's my opinion.
And yet that seems to be the minority opinion. A lot of us, I've decided I'm not going to answer the question about whether I've been vaccinated or not. I don't think it's anybody's business. I mean, people who've listened to the show for months on end who know that I advocated that my parents get vaccinated might have a clue as to where my mind is on this. But I just don't feel like it's anybody's place to get involved in that decision, especially since other people now have complete 100% access to the vaccine. If you want to get it, you can get it. And unless I'm wrong, unless somebody can tell me, hey, John, if you don't get the vaccine and you're not upfront about it, you sitting in a meeting in the conference room at the office with other people puts them in jeopardy. I mean, is that a scenario where really and truly a responsible manager or, you know, owner of a company should say, I've got to protect people by segregating out the employees who don't want to get this vaccine? I really have to protect people, either legally or medically, you think?
So I would say, number one, I have a different position than you do. I am an advocate for the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I have received the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I hope to motivate everybody to get the vaccine. And I feel it is my obligation to intervene and make sure that I do authentic, accurate scientific teaching to dispel myths mm-hmm. and misinterpretations of the jeopardy of the vaccine.
Well, I think you've got standing to do that, too, as a doctor.
Right.
And
as a senator and as a doctor, I feel that it is a incredibly valuable opportunity that happened because of Operation Warp Speed. Mm-hmm. That is a solution that gains consensus among naysayers and emotional people as well as scientific people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big advocate for the vaccine. On the other hand, it doesn't make much sense. Are they going to do the same for the flu? Because once you have herd immunity in the population, then the risk of transmission would almost realistically have to be from one unvaccinated person to another. Mm-hmm. And I think that they have the ability to control their own risk. Having said that, just as I believe in individual freedoms, I believe in a free market. And I believe businesses answer to the market. And the market can condemn their choices for their employees, but I don't think the government should. And so I think that if a business decides that this is important to them, I think they have the power to say, if you would like to be employed by me, you need to be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's to me just the freedoms that they have. Now, they're going to have to suffer the consequences of that. They may lose employees over that. They may not be able to compete in that marketplace if they make a heavy-handed assessment of that situation. But I think that they probably have the power to do that. And the one reason I think this is an unusual situation applies to the schools and it applies to businesses. All of those entities have suffered unbearably over the last year. Testing is still expensive and something that they have to cover. So I can see how a business would decide that it's a lesser evil. But there's something that we all need to know about, and we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. It's the Department of Labor in Virginia, the DALI regs that came out last year that have been superimposed on everything else that the federal government says for our businesses in Virginia. And they have such mixed messaging, including accountability for non-vaccinated employees exposing themselves to other people or even customers. Mm-hmm. That is the government getting involved in this decision, and that is something we should all stand against.
Well, I would agree with that. I just am not willing to accept government edicts.
No.
And I'm concerned. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm concerned about allowing businesses. You know, what was the point of HIPAA? If, you know, all this, I sign my name when I arrive at the doctor's office in a little sticker so that you can take the sticker off so that no one will know I was at the doctor's office getting treated for who knows what. But now my employer gets to ask me questions about whether I've taken a vaccine, an experimental vaccine or not. Where does that stop? Unless you really do think that my presence, let's assume for the sake of argument, and I'm not revealing anything about myself, but let's just say I didn't have the vaccine and I show up at work. Unless you really think that I am a danger to other people, I just don't see how it's anybody's business.
Well, I don't disagree with your argument, but I will tell you I work in a world where a flu shot is required, mm-hmm. and I have to demonstrate evidence that I've gotten it done. A tuberculosis test mm-hmm. is required, and I have to demonstrate because there is risk in that environment. But part of what we're talking about is not just risk of communication for businesses and universities.
Right.
We're talking about risk of undue cost and burden to that business.
Yeah.
And if they have to continue to do testing, if they are exposed to the public and they're at risk of liability, if they have jeopardy because COVID has been such a unusual and extraordinary situation.
Why do you I got to go, but why do you think the General Assembly hasn't stepped in here to clarify what the obligations are so that there isn't that liability? That,
but be careful, because I can tell you already,
yeah.
we have stayed off members of the General Assembly mandating vaccinations.
Right.
They talk about it. We're not in control there.
Yeah.
But they talk about it, and this administration has already put it in their regulations. I would also say I don't actually consider this an experimental vaccine. Data has been collected and done as much as on any vaccine when it's first released. So, I mean, experimental is an adjective or label that you can use on everything. But
well, until it's
case,
been used for 5, 6, 7 years, and then you know, okay, I mean, at this stage.
What vaccination has penetrated 50 to 70% of the American public? How much data do you need? We have more data on this vaccine than almost anything else. You know,
in the short term, what's the long-term consequence?
If you're talking about immunity, mm-hmm. if you're talking about the substrates that they use for vaccinations, what are the long-term consequences of any vaccines we have? I can't think of any.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's.
Is it unreasonable?
And anxiety on the other side.
Okay.
And if you really want to be scientific, this is a vaccine that's been tested on more people than almost any other vaccine we have.
In the
not
short
tested,
term, but let me ask you this, and then I got to go. Is it not? And I don't know, because I'm not an epidemiologist and I'm not a doctor, so I'm really asking your opinion. Is it not unreasonable for a thinking person, a college-educated, thoughtful individual to say, I don't know, unlike other vaccines that have been used for a long period of time, I just don't know what this will look like in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and I'd like to wait just so that I'm not in the first 50 million or 500 million people who've gotten the vaccine. Is that not a thoughtful process? Is that ignoring something that should be contemplated? Or
I think that is a decision based on fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would just say this is, again, we know it's a messenger RNA vaccination. That's the trigger it uses to trigger your immunity.
Right.
But to me, the risk of a vaccination is the immediate risk.
Mm-hmm.
Once you develop immunity, it's not an active process.
Okay.
And so I would say that I cannot hypothesize. I can tell you reproductive health is not an issue, and we've demonstrated that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't think of any other vaccine, and I give a lot out to pregnant women.
Right.
I can't think of another vaccine out there that there are long-term sequelae that have ever developed. And so I think vaccines, really the risk is short-term, and we have an incredible demonstration of this vaccine safety, and, you know, unprecedented in the number of Americans that have gotten it. And so I would say I can't promise you that there isn't something there, but based on all the data we already have, I'm highly confident that this is the safest thing to do long term for you as an individual, unless you have a specific health issue that your doctor would be able to talk with you about. So,
well, you know, I value and respect your opinion, and that's why I wanted to go long, because I think a lot of people are having this anxiety, so it's good to talk through it, and I sincerely appreciate it. Dr.
No,
Siobhan
and
Donovan.
And I do too.
Okay. Senator Donovan, thank you as always for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
821, back with more in a moment. News Radio WRVA. All right. Well, we needed to have that conversation. I know I'm getting text messages out the wazoo. People who are either agreeing or disagreeing. I don't know. I want to have the conversation. Now let's move to money. Okay. Michael Greer with Greer Financial is with us this morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. What are you thinking this week? Good
well,
week.
Well, looks like it looks like it's going to be a good week. Looks like traders, you know, we're heading into the summer. People start to take vacations, so volume can be a little bit lower. But looks like U.S. futures and commodities are headed to the uptrend. People are starting to feel more comfortable about the economy. Global stocks is a different story. Investors are still a little bit concerned about inflation over there. And you know, the U.S., we kind of get tied up in, you know, if it's not affecting me, we don't really, you know. So
right.
Until something starts to affect us, you know, we're good to go. So I think we're probably going to have a pretty good week. You know, and June, we'll just wait and see. You know, you can't go too far out with the markets.
Right. That is definitely proven. Okay. Well, but, we'll check with you again tomorrow and see how Monday unfolds. Michael Greer from Greer Financial. You can find him online right now at GreerFinancialGroup.com. Thank you, Michael.
Bye.
Okay. 8:25 on this Tuesday morning. We will come back with more in just a moment. News Radio WRVA. Hey, I hope you will call my friend Dan Dougherty over at Colonial First Mortgage. If you have even contemplated refinancing your existing mortgage, this is the time to act. Please don't wait for another 6 months, and then we have no idea what the situation will be in. There's indication, perhaps, that the rates go up. So you can save some big money now, and Dan will hustle for you. He's shopping 37 banks across the country to get you the very best deal. Get you the cash you need to do that new kitchen or that deck or pay off the credit cards if you refi. So let me give you Dan's personal cell. It's 218-4444, 218-4444. Dan Dougherty and the local Richmond folks at Colonial First Mortgage, NMLS number 196041, NMLS.org.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.